Welcome back to the Brent and Austin Show, streaming on the Action Sports Jax 24/7 Network.
Hey, good win for Oakleaf High School. Charlie Maddox just had a terrific year on the mound and at the plate, and she drove in more than a couple yesterday. I think a little bit of a slow start for Oakleaf, if I saw that correctly, and then they poured it on a bit, 8-3 win. So Oakleaf, always dangerous this time of year, always dangerous any time of year. They got a good squad, and they're the one local team representing Class 6A, and they move on in the postseason. They, I think, will now hit the road on Tuesday in the regional semis. Maddox, by the way, headed to Dartmouth to play and get her education. Brent Martineau along with Austin Lane. Neither one of us combined probably smart enough for Dartmouth.
No, heck no, man. Come on, man. I went to the public Ivy League. That's Murray State University, baby. That was we've been over this before.
Did they really build that, or did you guys build
it? No, that was built. Like, that was on t-shirts. That was on like the sign when you got to Murray State was, you know, America's public Ivy League.
I think there are so many, like I've said this over the years, like so many schools that have like wanted or ventured more toward this high academic standard, which sounds like, Brent, why are you, you know, putting that down? Like, isn't that a good thing to be like high? Yeah, but it's almost like they've created the situation where they feel like an Ivy League school. Like we say that about Florida all the time. And some of that is because they just have so many dang applications. They got to have a cutoff spot, no, right? Sure, they've got to make it more difficult to get in the fraternity, to get in the club, right? Yeah. It's like a golf membership. You raise it up if you don't want as many people, you know, kind of thing. So it's either, and they can't, like at Florida, raise the tuition. So there's two ways to do it. You either raise the tuition or you raise the standards to get in. Yep. But I just feel like there are a lot of schools now that have really increased that over the last 15, 20 years. And I think there's logic to it because of the popularity of going to college, quite frankly.
No, for sure. I mean, listen, I love my experience at Murray State because we were like Harry Potter and Hogwarts, man, because like each student got assigned a different house. So like we were in Hester. So like Hester was like our dorms and everything. So like we were like Team Hester. So like all intramurals, all like social activities took place through like our house. So, like, then, like, you know, we had, like, house t-shirts and everything. So, it was really like Harry Potter, which, I mean, when I was in middle school was, like, a really big deal. Now, I could really care less. But it was cool to kind of have, like, that fraternity kind of feeling without being in a fraternity, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I get it. Mm-hmm. That's an interesting way to do it. And I wonder what it's going to look like. I mean, now you really what's emerged over the last 5 or 10 years in the college game is all the student housing, right? That is different probably from when you were there, student apartments, like the luxury living. Like these kids, they're not living in dorms. I mean, some are, by the way.
Well, usually, it may have changed now, but like when I was in college, you had to live 2 years in the dorms, and then eventually you got to move out. And this is athletes, obviously.
And there are some like that still do that, I believe. Yeah, yeah. But what I say is, like, we're not living in dorms like you. A lot of people remember college as dorms, like these little, like the whole room is like this big, right?
Yeah,
like where we're sitting.
Yeah.
That's just not the case anymore. I mean, like these places are, but the accommodations are pretty dang good.
Yeah, but like
it should be a prison cell. I'm not saying.
No, but I hear you. But like, when my son goes to college, like I want him to be in the dorms. Like I feel like the dorms are the place like where you learn a lot, you socialize, you know, it's not ideal, obviously. They're very small rooms, small beds and everything. But, like, I feel like that's kind of the whole college experience, if you will.
Yeah, I was actually listening to the kids talk about it. It was the girls. They were talking about, like, hey, do you know your roommate and all this stuff? And you already have stuff. You know, you got to go, whatever, shopping, pillows, mattress, all that stuff. And I think they were referencing, and I didn't know this, and I didn't bring it up to them, but to show my age, I just know you're not as hip to what they're talking about right now.
Sure.
And they're like, so is your roommate getting the matching stuff? Are you guys matching,
there
or are you doing your own thing? I'm like, I don't ever remember that. Like, I've never heard that before. Like, and never even heard the other kids talk about that. Of course, we're more in tune with it where our kids are going to school next year. So that conversation becomes more prevalent. But I had never heard that. Like, even if you don't know your roommate, they're coming in from Sarasota or New York. You give them a call, be like, hey, do you want to do a matching room?
Yeah, I got you. Like, no, I mean, listen.
Well-coordinated kids, I guess.
Oh, man, it is about that cohesiveness. And, like, me and my roommate back in the day, who was from Marietta, Georgia, had never met him, obviously, until I saw him in person, but he was a football player as well, defensive tackle. And yeah, man, like we had the cohesiveness. Like we both, you know, we had like the beds lofted, so then underneath you could like put couches and everything. We had like the mood lighting, and like we had like the rope lights all around our room, man. Like our place was the place to be, and thankfully
you did it up.
We did it up, yeah. And thankfully we had a really cool RA too, because that goes a long way.
Yes, it does.
In your college experience, if your RA is like cool, or if he's like one of those that, you know, like a Karen that wants to call the cops and everything. So thankfully we didn't have that, man. He was like the chillest dude I've ever met. So that was that really helped my college experience out as well, my freshman and sophomore year.
So would you say what category would you put it in? Is the college experience better, worse, or the same as like 20 to 25 years ago? And yours isn't as far back. So
yeah,
you'd be what? You're in the 15 cycle?
Yeah.
So let's just say 15 to 20 to 25years.
Honestly, like
most older people say, oh, it's not as good as it was back then, right?
Yeah, no, the
old is it better stuff, now?
I mean, I'll say this. I think it's better if you're an athlete, it's better because NIL now.
Yeah, like, that's true. I'm in for the college experience.
Okay, well, the college experience is the NIL, too. Like, that helps things out a little
bit.
That's
true, but not everybody's doing that. You're just average kid going. Is the partying better? Are there more rules and restrictions? Are there less rules or restrictions? Okay. Social media, and has it made it worse going to college?
Yeah.
Is it the expense of it is crazy, right?
Yeah, I mean, like, listen, I think the whole, obviously the atmosphere has changed of being a college student. I've been out of the game for so long where it's hard for me to attest to, you know, the modern college student. But I would think that social media has kind of changed the game a little bit. Like, it used to be back in the day, like, yeah, you had your cell phone and, like, you text your homies, but, like, you go to house parties, you go to parties, and, like, you see everyone there. You know, like, I feel like now with the way people communicate where you can just, you know, FaceTime or something, it's like I don't have to go to this party. So maybe it has been a little more reserved, and like I look at it like spring break. Like when I was in college, spring break was insane. You're going to Panama City, you're going to Mexico, you're going to Tijuana, wherever you want to go to, and like that experience was, I did that two times in my college career, and yeah, memories for sure that I can remember. But like I feel like spring break's not that big anymore. I don't see MTV hosting MTV Spring Break at Panama City Beach.
Yeah, that's a good call. I mean, Daytona and Panama City, like, those were the places to be. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's changed. Yeah. You know, the one thing that's a little different for me, it's funny, you played football, but being played in baseball, Spring Break wasn't a thing for me.
Oh, yeah.
Right? It's right in the middle of the season, right? That's so like, totally different.
Yeah.
So I never experienced it like that. Our Spring Break was our spring trip and going to play baseball games down south, but not like your spring trip.
Yeah, yeah.
So and I don't know that. I don't know. I think kids like I know a couple of kids that that are ahead of our guys and that were in school, and I saw like they would take weekend trips like from Auburn to Destin or something like that. So maybe they do it more frequently, move around a little bit more frequently. The kids maybe are a little bit more nimble than before.
Yeah.
Maybe not. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But I wonder about that. How much the college experience is the same or different, and it doesn't matter. To each their own. It's probably good. College is great.
I mean, college.
No matter when.
Yeah, it's what you make of it, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like everything else, of course. Brent Martineau, Austin Lane, here on a Friday. It's, by the way, minicamp kicking off right about now down at Jags headquarters. Nick, in the daytime, how about show us a shot of the stadium? I got to believe they're indoors, and I haven't seen anything yet, but I haven't really looked too hard either.
They gotta be. They're
when I came here. Because I can't tell how much it's raining now, but why even get them out on the grass there? So looks like they'll be indoors today, which is not a surprise. And again, looks like the weather's going to be okay for that big concert inside EverBank Stadium coming up tomorrow. Is there anything in the stadium deal, by the way, that you would like to see? If you get to go sit down in this meeting with the third party negotiator, with the Jags, with Mayor Donna Deegan in the city, and you get to go and be like, oh, wait, you missed this, or maybe you didn't, but I think this should be in.
Yeah.
What is it? What could it be? What are some options that it could be?
Guaranteed Beyonce tour comes to Jacksonville.
More so than Taylor Swift?
I'm good with Taylor Swift, man, yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, I mean, if you're asking me, and now watch me get the hate from the Swifties, I would rather see Beyonce in concert than Taylor Swift. Kill me. I don't care. That's just me. I mean, I know that's probably not the popular opinion because, like, obviously Taylor Swift's in the Eras tour right now. I think she's in Europe.
Is that what she's
during the European tour and just obviously just slaying, as the kids say. But yeah, man, I would want to see Beyonce.
Is that a silent, like, little rivalry going on?
No.
Beyonce?
No. No, I don't think so.
Like, I was just wondering, like, somebody suggested that. I didn't think that either, but I was like, is that why Beyonce got into the country realm a little bit
too? I think there's like a mutual respect. Like, I don't see any collaborations coming anytime soon, but just because, like, they're so far, like, in their different lanes.
Yeah That's the way I looked at it too.
But, you know, people love to drum up the drama. No, I don't think we're gonna have like any kind of like a Kendrick Lamar Drake beef anytime soon.
I just saw, by the way, Kendrick's winning the beef by a lot.
Who was this at?
I saw that his streaming numbers.
On
the diss track stuff is like.
I see you, Brent, doing your research.
Way ahead.
Yeah, I see you doing your homework.
Just fell into a tweet, but hopefully it was right.
Tweet. Here we are talking about Jacksonville's going to Detroit for Thanksgiving, and now we got Kendrick's beating. Well, he is beating him, by the way, too. But yeah, I mean,
is that how we're measuring this? Is it more by the shots in the haymakers, or is it by the stream numbers?
I'm not measuring it by any numbers, by any streams, anything like that. I measure it by the cultural significance. And by cultural significance, yeah, I think in terms of what celebrities say, I think in terms of, you know, the airplay that's getting played in NBA games, that's getting played just like in videos that you see, viral videos and everything. I mean, like I said, I think it's been a 10-7 Kendrick Lamar round.
Yeah, you've been saying that. Yeah. It sounds like you're right, according to my streaming numbers on social media. Brent Martino, Austin Lane, streaming on the Action Sports Jacks 24/7 network with no diss tracks.
Listen, I understand that country music could be bigger than it's ever been right now. You got, you know, Luke Combs selling out two nights a row. You got George Strait still doing his thing. Chris Stapleton singing national anthems. You got to have a country beat. We need a country beef.
Country beef.
A country beef. I'm talking like, remember, like, wasn't back in the day, was there some like outlaw country beefs or not?
Yeah, there was the most polarizing that I can remember of the country genre most recently would have been Dixie Chicks and Toby Keith, the late Toby Keith.
Yeah, big dog.
Right?
Yeah.
So, and that was very political.
I guess too political, though.
That was a big beef now. That was the only beef that I remember.
Yeah.
Well, that's why I said, like, a Beyonce and Taylor Swift. I know Taylor's not necessarily the country genre, but that's where her roots are.
Correct.
Right? And so there's crossover. Like, I'll listen to country. Like, they're playing her new album.
Mm-hmm.
Like, some of the songs. I don't know if all of them. But so that could, I'm not telling you there's going to be beef, but that could be one. I mean, that would be the most high profile one.
Oh, Brent, I mean, listen, if we're talking about a Beyonce, Taylor Swift, I'm not even going on the streets, Brent. The streets will be safe. Because you're going to have so many, like, teenage girls and, like, grown women. No, man. No, absolutely not. Because you want to talk about the most rabid, aggressive fan bases probably in the world, it's the Beehive versus Swifties.
Mm.
But a part of me now, because you're mentioning it, kind of wants me to poke that bear a little bit. You know, I kind of want to see how that's going to unfold. I just kind of sit back and watch, you know, because I don't have a dog in the fight. Really.
Yeah, that would
you
be.
You know what I'm saying?
That would be a good one to watch. Yeah. But that would be the one that would raise the antenna, you know? I mean, that would be.
If there was a Beyonce Taylor Swift beef, that would be the beef of all beefs.
That would be.
Because you're talking about probably the two, like, largest fan bases in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they are that right now,
yes.
Right?
Yes. Yeah.
Used to be the boy bands or somebody like that would have it. Not right now. It's those two women that have it. All right. So I did just ask this.
Did you ask Beyonce or Taylor Swift?
Beyonce tour? No.
Oh.
I asked what would you put in the stadium agreement? You want a Beyonce tour?
I mean, that was more of a sneaky question. I don't know. I don't know. Shade, I guess. And you're going to get that.
And you're going to get that.
Yeah, you're going to get that.
We've seen a rendering. So, like, there were a couple of things that I think where people would go with this. And on a high priority list, right? The first thing that comes to mind is the thing that you're most excited about with the stadium deal, and that's a lease that says, okay, we don't have to deal with that stuff anymore. It's a 30-year lease, most likely.
Mm-hmm.
And you renew it. Another 30 years. Again, I think that's, like, the headline of this for me. It's, like, another 30 years
mm-hmm.
On the 30th anniversary of the team. But I think there are also other, you know, the makeup of the stadium, et cetera, et cetera. I'm not really talking about that. I'm not talking about changing the rendering during the renovation. I think some people are strong believers, especially on social media. That's why I don't know how big this population is, but it's a vocal one, that in this discussion, they want the city to play into the we won't play a game in London every year card.
Oh. Oh, okay.
But here's the deal, and I again, no insight at all on what the parameters of this deal are when they come out. But I don't think you're going to get your wish on that, because I view it as, and I spent time with city people for the last 10 years over there. I think they view it as a very positive thing. Like, when I was talking to Mayor Donna Deegan in London, and we did an interview where the conversation there was about a direct flight from London to Jacksonville. Like, that's a big deal. Not about a football game, but the football game and everything else has helped these relationships grow to the point where London, which is oozing of money, business opportunity here in Jacksonville as we become like Tech Valley of the East Coast.
Yeah.
And so, therefore, London folks being able to fly right here, huge win to have a direct flight. Like, just those kind of wins. I don't think people are going to get their wish of, oh, yeah, stadium deal, 30-year lease, taxpayers are going to pay this. Oh, by the way, we're not going to London. I think they're going to win that. But I think people would like to see that. That's my point of the conversation.
Oh, no,
like, if you could put something in, there are some pieces of the population that would like that.
No, I mean, I think, listen, I think every Jaguars fan would love to keep, you know, 8 games or whatever now, 9 games depending sometimes, of home games here in Jacksonville. You know, like, and I get, okay, you got a direct flight. That's great to London. Obviously the revenue, but like, I would say a majority of this fan base doesn't care about those things. Majority of this fan base, if you're going to pay tax dollars on a new stadium, they want to see their product here in Jacksonville. Like, it's simple as that. Like, fans aren't doing, it's not a fan's job to be business savvy in terms of, hey, well, at least we're generating this much in London. Like, that's not their job. Their job is to go to games, cheer on their team, question some decisions sometimes during that game, and question players and celebrate players. Like, that's a fan's job. It's not a fan's job to worry about planes and revenue. So, yeah, I mean, I think that's a great point, and one I didn't even really think of, where if you can justify, you know, obviously with taxes and everything, probably spending a little more money, you probably want to see your team here the entire year and not have to go to London.
Yeah, I think, again, I don't know the population. Like, if we put a vote out, what I never understand fully on social media, and I love it, right? I mean, we're we love you. We believe in you. And you've helped us, and we grow the show on social media, like all those things. Like, I have a genuine appreciation for everybody there. But I never know how big the audience is, and if it matches what you would do, what I call my grocery store test, of saying, okay, the person at Publix doesn't, when I ask them this question, they don't give a damn. Like, they don't care. Like, I'm not saying they do or don't. I'm just saying I don't know that. But I do know that there is a segment of the people that we interact with a lot on social media that say, yeah, man, put that in there. Get that out of there. Mm-hmm. Like, that was especially a lot of discussion early on, like last year. Like, hey, this got to be part of it. This could be part of it. And I just don't think it's going to be. I don't know that. I just don't think it's going to be. And I really just think most of that is on the city side, because I see these conversations. Like, I've asked these questions. It's not just a Jags thing. It's not just an NFL thing. And the other thing that's changed a lot is the entire NFL now wants to go play global games. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not just the Jaguars. There's a space there. There's a competition there now amongst other teams to go get fan bases, to go get other countries, to go kind of make these sister cities, which is what the Jags have really done, the footprint of it. And I think it's going to be viewed around league circles. I think it's going to be viewed around, you know, in the broader picture, not just here in Jacksonville, as really a win for the Jacksonville Jaguars, what they've created in London, the ability to sell over there, the ability to grow over there, to help the sister city relationship over there. And now we've seen a lot of other people try to do it. So I think there's a huge gap between some of the vocal fans that would say, hey, I put this in there. We don't want that game over there every year, which I respect and understand, and kind of where the city and the league and everybody else is at in that conversation.
No, I agree, man. I'm very curious to see if that gets brought up, and I'm very curious to see how that, I mean, one would think that the London game's staying. You know, I mean, I think that's just the thing, because it's too much money to make for Shad Khan, and Shad Khan is a businessman. There's a reason why he became the owner of the Jacksonville Jaguars, is because of business decisions. And I think in terms of the revenue, in terms of the bottom dollar, playing in London has a lot of benefits from that perspective of the franchise.
Yeah. So anyway, that's just one thing. The others, I think a big one here, and this is maybe where I come in, but I'm going to give you another one that sticks in the, you know, gets the fired up fan base. I really don't think they want 2027 in London. I mean, in Orlando. Like, I think as this negotiation is like, okay, where can we play those games? It doesn't say Orlando.
Yeah, but where'd you put it? Like, well, that's,
and we've had a lot of those. Yeah. Like, what I would do, Austin, but again, I understand the hurdle here, but in a perfect world, I've told you this. I think it's, well, I actually probably haven't told you this a lot because we weren't doing the show and a lot of this discussion, but I'm more enamored with the idea of Daytona because for a bunch of different reasons. One, I think it's kind of cool. It's different, right? Like, if you're going to have, they've done stuff over the years where I think Chicago, when they were redoing their stadium or something, they played at Northwestern, or maybe it was at Illinois, or, you know, there are examples of that, yeah, like, where people are playing at different spots.
Minnesota, right? Had to do it at, like, their University
of Minnesota
building there.
The Chargers played in the soccer stadium,
yeah,
right? Mm-hmm. And some of them are cooler than others. But has any of them been as cool as playing at Daytona International Speedway? Like, that'd be pretty cool.
Be cool.
So I like the idea of it. I understand the hurdles of it, but I also like the idea of it because now you bring up that corridor. If I'm the Jags, I like it because I'm bringing up Melbourne, Orlando. I'm bringing up people and creating new fans in Daytona, by the way, which is a great market because if you're in Daytona, you can come up to Jags games all the time. You'll drive an hour. I mean, I grew up in New England, man. People drove an hour, 15, hour 20, 2 hours, 2.5 hours to go see the Patriots play or the Red Sox play. Or, like, that's great if you can steal that audience. Especially this side of Orlando. Like, there's a certain strategic plan there that makes a lot of sense for the Jaguars.
Wouldn't Gainesville make sense?
Well, Gainesville makes some sense. And I think people would be okay with Gainesville.
Okay.
There are also those detractors of the swamp and blah, 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 blah. But I believe the problem with Gainesville is they, too, are going under a renovation in this time frame. There's a little bit of that going on. Both in Orlando, I think... I don't know the time frame in Orlando, but also in Gainesville. I think this is, I believe this is going to end up in Orlando because I think it's the most, boom, easy way to do it.
Easy way,
right? Mm-hmm. I'm just telling you, for me, I would love it to be in
Daytona.
In Daytona, because I just think it would be cool. But it also comes with hurdles and other things. And I also think strategic planning-wise for the Jags makes more sense than even Orlando. Because now you've got, you can take care of your fan base in Jacksonville. You can keep those people in Daytona. Flagler area is growing, right? Flagler Beach. And then, again, Melbourne, Orlando, all those areas. You can really get this little kind of melting pot to your games if you were to do that. And also, I just think it would get headlines. Because ESPN, NFL Network would be like, hey, look where the Jags are playing. Like, that's kind of a cool talker instead of, hey, they're playing at Camping World Stadium or wherever, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I think, like, well, keep in mind, too, like, the visitor side, and I guess it's not all about them, but, like, I guess, could you fly into Daytona? There's the airports of Daytona.
Yeah.
I don't know. Okay.
You can, and there's enough. There's between Orlando and Jacksonville and sure, Daytona and Sanford. Yeah. Like, there's a bunch of them.
But yeah, but flying into Orlando would be a lot easier if you're an away fan to go just fly in Orlando and then go to the Camping World, wherever you're going to have it at. But no, I mean, I like the intrigue of Daytona. I'd have to see, like, what it would look like and everything.
Yeah, like, we've got, presented. You can do it. It's tricky. Mm-hmm. It's tricky, but you can do it. But here's the thing. When I say you can do it, you bring money into play. And you're already asking for a lot of money. So now you're going to be like, okay, by the way, that $1.4 billion price tag went to $1.55 million. You know, something like that. It's like, okay, that doesn't all jive. So I think Orlando's going to be it because it's the cleanest deal. But I don't know that. I'm coming from, when I ask this question, I just want to make it perfectly clear. I do not know what's in the agreement. So I'm not, like, hinting toward anything. I know sometimes you can do that, and sometimes you have a little bit of a gauge. I don't know London. I know lease is in it, obviously. I mean, it's an extension of the lease. Like, that's going to happen. We know what the renderings look like. We know what kind of the parameters of the stadium somewhat look like. We know the east side part of this deal is out. It's more just focused on the stadium. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I have not heard the most recent news of where they might be playing. Because in my opinion, I think we've defaulted to, okay, it's probably going to be Orlando. Because the big part of this is, hey, it's only going to be 2027, we think now. That's where we think that's landing, limited capacity in 2026. So all those things going on. So I would just say, if you want to jump in this conversation, we'll check out the chat too. Maybe it's kind of like the question of the day. If you could put something in a stadium deal that you would like to see happen, what would it be? We just suggested no London games, mm-hmm. or at least no annual London games. Play not in Orlando, mm-hmm. As one of them. Beyonce concert tour, you know, that's part of it.
Whatever.
And the lease is going to be a part of it, right? Like, so I don't think you have to ask for that. Like, that's certainly part of the negotiation with the city. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'm missing anything. Like, I don't know if there's anything else like that. You from a city standpoint that you're like, hey, we got to get this out of it too. And that's why I'd like your input, because what do we, you know, I think times like this, you get a chance to one, think out the box, mm-hmm. outside the box, two, ask for the moon, and three, be as progressive as possible. Like, what are we not thinking about for 10, 15, 20, 25, 30 years down the road?
Sure.
Right? Like, that's how monumental this thing is that you're asking Mark Lamping, Mayor Donna Deegan, City Council, this third-party negotiator, to not just look at today, mm-hmm. to look at 2028 when this thing opens, but look at 2040 and 2050 and what the landscape of sports and this city and everything else look like. To me, that's why I get so energetic and excited about it, because there's way more to this than just a stadium and 2028 in the next few years. And even for that matter, playing in potentially Orlando for a year.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot more to it. Are we going to have the vision? Mm. I would say it's fair enough to say that Jacksonville always hasn't had a great vision. There's been times I've had terrific vision.
Yeah, pools.
Right?
That was a good one. Two no, pools for this new one.
I'm not even talking about the franchise.
Two pools, I know.
I'm talking about the city, right?
I'm kidding.
And so, but this is, you get really a lot of minds that are on the same page and hopefully smart folks to look into that next, you know, 10, 20, 30 years. And I think that's worth getting excited about here in Jacksonville. Apparently, the story is that Doug Peterson has commented again on my question of the offseason.
Uh-oh.
So we'll go there when we get back. What did he say?
I like it. Okay.
About play calling. Yes, that is the question of the offseason. We're going to take a break. Brent and Austin Show, Action Sports Jax 24/7 Network. We're live at String Sports Brewery, having some fun heading into the weekend. You can too. The doors are open. Have some lunch. Grab a few beers for the weekend as well. Get them to go.
Welcome back to the Brent and Austin Show, streaming on the Action Sports Jax 24/7 Network.
Hey, welcome back here to the Brent and Austin Show, and we've subbed Austin out, tag team partner. He's on the bench, new line in, and off the bench comes Harold Craw from the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp. He comes in, get a little something from String Sports Brewery on the go. I said, don't go anywhere. Let's talk some Jumbo Shrimp. So you're supposed to be off on a Friday as the team's on the road before they come back home next week. And what the heck? Let's talk a little Jumbo Shrimp. Good to see you, man.
Man, love it. Thanks for finding me.
Thanks for finding us there at String Sports Brewery. We love it. Support local, right?
Yeah, of course. I love this spot, man. It's one of my favorite breweries in town. Partly because it's close to the stadium, but also because Scott's fantastic.
Yeah, Scott Adib and everybody, very good folks. And they're going to open one out at Jack's Beach. You'll be able to go there, hopefully, in time for football season or right around the start of football season. But right now, it's baseball season. Tell us how the year's going. I know the wins, losses, not so much, but how about just from promotional attendance, the excitement around the ballpark standpoint?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a fantastic start to our season. I mean, it's kind of crazy to think we're already in the second month of the season. Attendance is up and it's been fantastic. Fans have been great. The energy in the building is unbelievable. It's been cool to watch our fans see our new video board that yep. we got out there in left field and see how bright and vibrant it is and what we can do with it. And hopefully, specifically over this last home stand, fans were a bit cooler on the concourse with those fans keeping everybody cooler than past summers down at 121 Financial Ballpark.
I was going to say, how the upgrade, so they've been received pretty well, and I know you have more coming. Obviously, it's a big project, I think over $30 million over the next 12 to 18 months, but you've done some of it, and just things like that. Like those seem very small things when we see big structures going up and right. everything else, but those are great fan amenities.
Yeah, I mean, that's the goal behind it, right, is to continually engage fans, make them more comfortable, make it more inviting to come out to a ball game there, and then as people begin to watch what's going on behind right field wall with those bleachers now gone, I think that'll be exciting to watch things grow as we grow.
Yeah, and you guys keep growing now in AAA. I asked Scott Kornberg this, who, by the way, congrats to him. He's going to call a game on May 18th with the Miami Marlins. He's awesome. He just did all that research. We had him on last week about the 1,000th Jacksonville player to play in the big leagues. So Scott's done a great job, and happy for him to get that opportunity in the big leagues. He got the call-up. Maybe he's 1,001, I guess, for the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp and Jacksonville baseball. But I asked him this, like, the move to AAA, now that it's a couple years in, is it a good one? Has it been a good one? Like, how do you feel that? Or is it still minor league baseball, so it's minor league baseball?
Yeah, how we do it from a day-to-day, it's still minor league baseball. But the feel that I get are the crowds that are coming into the building, right? I think when we were a AA, I mean, people were very local, which were still very local. But we now get more travelers that come in to visit us that just want, hey, you're a AAA team, or you might see a big league guy here more often than we might have been in AA. And so you see those fans coming through the ballpark. And then from a standpoint of just being there every day, I mean, the size of our guys are just, it's different.
You
right?
notice
it's
it.
Just, it's, yeah, it's noticeable.
They're grown men.
Yeah, they're grown. First, fully grown men with families that are coming through. We're seeing more kids from wives and children.
Yeah,
and
yeah. That makes sense.
You know, when you see it, when you're not there every day, you might not notice that, but
yeah, yeah.
I do see that a lot. And it becomes more of a family atmosphere.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. You know, you do get the folks that want to check boxes. Like, hey, we're going this summer to California. We're going to hit all five ballparks in California, right? People love to do that around baseball and other sports, which is cool. And, you know, you just mentioned that, I think, a little bit with the AAA. You can see some more maybe stars, but also you maybe those are the ballparks you're checking. You're doing the AAA list. But how much has that helped that, too? Like, how many people actually around the country? I remember we were up in Cooperstown with the kids years ago, and you had merchant. You had just started the Jumbo Shrimp stuff, and there was Jumbo Shrimp merchandise in Cooperstown.
Yeah.
How much has that really caught on, not just here in Jacksonville? I think people really embrace it, love the shirts and everything else, but outside of Jacksonville, is that a draw to come in here and not only buy gear, you can do that online, but come watch them and see them?
Yeah, I believe it is. I mean, I see it. I mean, we travel a lot more so now than even before, but traveling, going out, right? Coming back in, you expect to see people coming back to Jacksonville, but it's going out and hitting the airports and seeing different things. I'm talking Dallas, Vegas, Chicago, New York. These are all places I've been within the last year.
Wow.
And seen people wearing our stuff.
That's cool, isn't it?
I think it's just a big deal. Or my father, who lives in Tennessee, which is a AA affiliate, as he wears it around town, people will stop him and be like, hey, I'm from Jacksonville.
Okay.
I stopped fishing last week.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, I'm from Jacksonville, man. Love the shrimp. Love that. Love what's going on there. So, yeah, I believe that's a part of what we've been able to accomplish with the Jumbo Shrimp brand and moniker.
We're talking a lot over the next couple of days, but have been for the last year, about the new stadium deal that's going in. And I think your news earlier in the last couple of months, and obviously what the Icemen have been able to do, the sports landscape. I got here 16 years ago, Harold, and you see, it just feels like it's, you know, people compete, but it feels like it's more kind of like we're all in this together.
Very much.
And how much does the stadium deal kind of factor into that feeling that I'm sure you guys are rooting for? Hey, we see that, and that just is good for everybody else around it.
Yeah, right? They say, you know, a rising tide lifts all boats. And so that's the one thing I noticed when I moved here just under 8 years ago, was how well all of the sports team work together, and even events that are happening. And it's just a fantastic mix of everybody. And so as we all are growing, it's fantastic that it's happening together. I mean, I'm selfishly excited. I'm an NFL fan. I'm a football fan. But also by being across the parking lot from the Jags and seeing what they have, hopefully on board in the very near future. I mean, it makes us excited with our renovations, and then everybody else, you know, coming along and working on their events. I mean, I can't selfishly wait for the excitement to go on in and around what is a game day, whether it's Iceman, Shrimp, Sharks, Jags. Game day.
And there's a lot more game days. And that's part of it. That's part of the mission, by the way, to get a lot more game days in Jacksonville, get more people in downtown. And I think we've seen that slow growth. This might expedite things a little bit more and really ramp it up in your project as well. Harold Carr with us from the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp. He really just stopped in. He's his day off, and I just made him come on for a couple minutes to talk. So we appreciate stopping by. So let's leave you with this. Back home on Tuesday, got a homestand coming, including a day that most of us participate in. A very average day at the ballpark.
Yeah, so Thirsty Thursday, of course, is our next Thursday. We're doing our promotion is C's Get Degrees. So we're celebrating everything average. And so for myself, also very average, I'll be there celebrating as well. But one other thing I wanted to note is Saturday night, we're actually giving away for the first 2,000 a Jazz Chisholm bobblehead.
Oh, cool.
Obviously, recognize Marlins player on the cover of the show, the latest video game, but we're giving away a Jazz Chisholm bobblehead for the first 2,000 that are through the gates.
That's cool.
Man, Thirsty Thursday, I mean, if you're average or consider yourself average or likes to play, you know, average sports, average golf, if you're an average, great average baseball hitter, whatever it may be, please join us.
All right. Maybe an average beer drinker on Thursday night.
That's a good one.
That could be it as well. And that would work. Really any night of the day, any night of the week at the ballpark, but definitely on this Thursday. Harold Krall with the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp. Awesome to see you. Thanks for stopping in real quick.
Thanks for having me.
Have a good summer. It's season's here now. I mean, it's big time here, and you got a long way to go until the end of the summer. So good luck to the ball club on the field and to you guys in the seats and with all the promotions as well. Hey, Nick, let's take a break. We'll get Austin back in here and Doug Peterson at the podium today with an update. I'm not sure how big of an update, but an update on who's going to call plays. That will be the story when we come back on the Brent and Austin Show live at String Sports Brewery here in Springfield.
Welcome back to the Brent and Austin Show, streaming on the Action Sports Jacks 24/7 network.
Well, there's a look at this team. Again, showing that a lot today because, well, there's a lot happening, right? You got Chris Stapleton and George Strait. By the way, I heard that selling really well because I was kind of hoping, hey, if it's not selling that well, maybe I'll jump in there last second. I don't think that's going to be the case. I think selling really, really well. So good show tomorrow night if you're heading over there. And then right to the left, of course, is the Miller Electric Center. And nobody out there right now, but just a short time ago, Doug Peterson and Ethan Waugh, the assistant general manager, speaking to the media. And our question of the offseason was part of the discussion. Let me do this because as we're doing the show and discussing things, and Marcel Robinson and Olivia Tassley are down there. They're the ones who gave me a heads up that of the play calling conversation. Before we get there, I just want to kind of share with you what Marcel's been tweeting out about what's been happening during the news conferences, see if we find any highlights here. He has the biggest thing is the number of guys here for the voluntary program. They want to be here. I feel like that's a conversation that we get a lot. Remember, this is a voluntary time. A guy like Josh Allen, he even said he'd be back and forth, right? Arizona to here.
Yep.
We've seen a lot more guys over the years not be here. We've seen a lot less contention about that. I think Doug Peterson is a guy that is going to understand that as a former player, knows where the league's gone. It kind of makes him perfect for this time. If you juxtapose that with 5 or 10 years ago around the National Football League, but even with certain coaches and people in charge, you're going to get a different response. But now people get it. And as long as you're ready to go and you're they've created so much competition that you better be ready to go. I remember when we first got even to Jacksonville, we talk about guys that came into camp not in shape, Austin.
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
I don't even think that even exists anymore. Like, I think everybody's in shape when you get to camp because there's so much money on the line. You better do your job on your own to be able to do your job when you get there.
Yeah, there's so much money on the line. There's so many resources to use, you know, and Josh Allen even alluded to this when he was on our show saying just how their facility now, the practice facility, they have everything that you could possibly need in terms of getting your body and even your mind right for the grueling season. So I think that, you know, having that facility there is just kind of a godsend in terms of that's only going to help keep players there for the whole time.
That's a really good point. I don't think that was a main motivator, but I think in the off season and these periods of time when you have everything right there and you don't have to go outside, I think it's a great great factor to keep people inside and therefore create some camaraderie and chemistry, even in a subconscious way. Some of that can be forced, but other than that just materializes when you're around people in the building. And I think you're very right on that. And by the way, I think also helps shape culture sometimes of being in a place that you want to be at along the way. Peterson also said, hey, it's a really good learning experience for Brian Thomas Jr. to come here and see wide receiver Jarvis Landry. I think it'll also be good to see how Jarvis handles himself as a veteran. So that on that front. Peterson on the incoming secondary players, quote, well, or paraphrasing, I want to be able to watch them move around. I explained that some of the things they did in college may be a little different. They've embraced that. It's hard because at times, because it's a time to see how much they can understand the defense on air, meaning, you know, without pads on and everything else. Peterson on what he expects in rookie minicamp, test them mentally more than physically. All of this stuff plays a big part into their development and growth. Peterson also said, we've gotten physically bigger with some of the incoming guys. I think we've got to tick faster when we put the pads on in July and August. We'll see where we are physically. We talked about that a lot in the draft. I think that's actually a theme that we can't forget about coming off the end of the season. I keep reminding people that probably weekly. That was a major factor. But I think Doug just said something a little bit different there. Also faster. There are some people that I've talked to around the league said they're too slow. The Jags too. So, see, I don't really get that vibe from the Jags over the last couple of years, but there are some people that do, obviously. And the league just keeps getting faster and faster and faster. How do you think the Jags on paper shape up to be right now physically before you see them in August and September, and also speed-wise?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, they've addressed the trenches, right? So physically, they've gotten bigger. They've gotten some big guys in the draft. So, yeah, I think, you know, size, strength, and physicality goes hand in hand. So, I mean, without having seen them on the field yet, yeah, I think they did get more physical. And in terms of speed, I mean, you know, to me, that's kind of like all in the eye of the beholder. Like, do you have guys that can run 40-yard dashes? Sure, okay. But, like, what is it going to look like on the field? I mean, that's a little more hard to predict, but I would think in terms of their offense, at least, I mean, Brian Thomas Jr. is a burner. Gabe Davis is a burner. You know, Christian Kirk is fast. Travis Etienne has speed. So, yeah, I think this is going to be a very fast team. Now, on defense, with this Ryan Nielsen style, this scheme, I mean, is it going to be a lot more of just, hey, go to it and ask questions later? Or are we going to have, you know, guys maybe be confused a little bit with schemes and schematically and stuff like that? I think it's going to be the former, where obviously guys can pin their ears back and just go play football. And if that's the case, then, yeah, it's probably going to appear a little faster, too, on defense.
Yeah, so I don't see the Jags being a slow team. Like, I don't know where they are as fast. Like, I think of the Miami Dolphins as a fast team. They're really fast. Their running backs are fast. Their receivers are really fast. Heck, they even look like they're pretty gifted defensively with the athletes they have and everything else. I think the Jags are fast. I mean, ETN has home run ability. You just mentioned the guys that have home run ability. They brought that in, and maybe they did increase that. But in Doug's word, you were a tick faster. Maybe they are more of a tick faster. Maybe you play faster when you're willing to go get the home run ball, when you got two guys. Like, so maybe that feels more speedy than Zay Jones, who can run fast, but he's going to go on a 12-yard route instead of a 35-yard route, you know? So I don't know what that looks like, but I really, there have been times over the years now. The thing that struck me about, say, the Atlanta Falcons, okay, remember when they blew the Super Bowl to the Patriots? If you watch that first three quarters, you're like, holy cow, this team, really first two quarters, but you probably go into the third. This team is on a different level than the New England Patriots in terms of speed. They looked so fast in that game, in that first half. That's, I think, how they raced to a 28-3 lead. They were playing a different game. Now, I don't know what the heck happened to slow it down, other than maybe they slowed themselves down. There's some certain debate about that, whether Belichick did something to slow them down.
Yeah,
or whether
they also tried to put up a gas a little bit, too.
Yeah, and Tom Brady then just did his thing, which you control the game better on the offensive end, and you can limit what they're doing on offense with that speed. But it always struck me in that game, seriously, if you go back and watch that first half, and not that I have, I was there at the game, I was like, oh, this is like game-changing speed. This is different than the rest of the NFL's playing. I thought that's why Atlanta was so good right then. And then the game keeps getting faster and faster, and we see Tyreek Hill, right? Game changer with his speed. That's an individual. Is that a team? Like, are the Chiefs fast? Well, I don't think they're necessarily fast. They just won the Super Bowl, and I don't, like, say they're fast. I don't think that way. I mean, the guy that comes to mind for me is Travis Kelce. He's not fast, right?
No.
So, and even Mahomes. Mahomes doesn't play in a fast way like Lamar Jackson does. So I think it's interesting the way we perceive it. And my perception of the Jags is, like, they got home run ability. I think they got guys that fly around. They're super athletic on the defensive side of things. They got team speed. And so it was very interesting when I heard that. I think at the combine, somebody mentioned, yeah, they need to get faster. They're not fast enough. And I was like, I never really thought about it like that. I did years ago, like when you were playing,
yeah,
or some of those teams, I was like, okay, they need to be, like, they're kind of plodding along. Like, we don't feel like we're electric. And a lot of that is on the offensive side, right? Especially if you're pretty bad on offense. So anyway, I just, I think that's an interesting comment, by the way, on from Doug Peterson on a tick up in speed. I did get this in text. Now, Marcel didn't tweet this, so I hope they weren't joking. I don't think they were. But he said, Mike DiRocco asked Doug, your play calling question.
Here we go, Brent. I mean, this has been a 45-minute tease here. Hit us with it.
I guess I was even included in the question, according to Olivia.
Nice.
Said Brent asked about play calling a few times. Where does that stand? He said, don't play a game until September, so we got some time.
Ah. No rush.
I guess in a way, not surprising. but just the latest update on it.
Yeah.
And coming on the heels of what Trevor was talking about, where he thinks it's going to be press, and he's kind of referencing press, and it seems like the team's referencing press. Either Doug just doesn't want the cat out of the bag, which I don't really know what the competitive advantage here.
There is no competitive advantage with that, no.
Or he's still mulling this thing over.
I don't think he's mulling it over. I think, like, listen, if you're mulling it over now, I don't know. Like, I've never been in the coaching ranks, but I would think that if I was a head coach, if I was a coordinator, I would know who's going to call the plays when my guys come in for spring, for OTAs. Because, like, that's when I would start initiating it. Like, if we're at practice, we're doing, you know, 7-on-7. If we're at practice and we're doing good-on-good, like, someone's going to be in Trevor's ear, and I would like it to be the guy that plans on calling the plays for the season. So maybe you have a couple more weeks and everything, but, like, I don't want to be in preseason game number 3. It's like, I don't know. What do you think, press? Should it be me? Should it be you? Like, I want to have this established before even the first preseason game.
Yeah, I'm not surprised, by the way, by the answer. I think we've discussed this. Are we going to learn this in the next couple months? We said this for the last couple weeks. No, probably not, right? Do we need to know right now? Probably not. Do they need to know? That's your point, right? It's better to know and know where we're going and get this train rolling. I think we'll probably end up figuring it out sometime in August publicly, if they even announce it or say it or whatever. I mean, it's become a thing enough to where they probably should tell us. And they, by the way, that's a Doug made that bet by some, or somebody made it that bet by announcing it on the morning of the regular season opener last year. Mm-hmm. So now became a topic for the whole season and now this offseason. But so it doesn't surprise me they didn't say much. I'm trying to think of, I did say this the last time we had this conversation about the play calling. I do wonder if we, because I genuinely believe it's one of the biggest offseason topics, and I think it's going to continue to be, depending on what this team looks like by the middle of October. We'll still be talking about, okay, it's working or not. We'll talk about it less if it's working.
Yeah.
We'll talk about it a lot more if it's not, no matter who's calling the plays. It's not like we're going to sit here and give press too many flowers. I don't see the fan base turning around and doing that, patting them on the back. They're going to be more likely to complain about him or whoever's calling the plays if it doesn't work.
Yeah.
That's just the way that job works, unfortunately, for those guys. But I've said this and suggested that, is it bigger to us on the outside? Have they made it a bigger story inadvertently? And have we then run with the story? Because legitimately, I think it is one. But they don't internally. You know what I mean? Like, they don't look at it as big a story inside as it is outside.
Sure.
And because, and the reason for that is they look at it as this big collaboration. Like, for that, from their standpoint, Mike McCoy could be calling plays for, oh, you know, he's done it before, right? So he's got the capabilities to do it, and they would trust him to do it. So they might not think it's that big a deal. I do think it's a big deal. The latest update is today of, hey, we got till September, so we've got some time. How this thing shakes out and what it looks like to me is still a massive storyline. It doesn't diminish it, but it is interesting that that was the latest update.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, I guess I'm not surprised that Doug Peterson kind of, you know, didn't really give us anything to go off of. And maybe he truly does know already. I hope he does. I hope the team is somewhat aware of what the plan's going to be. And maybe it's not our job to know right now. Like, all I ask for is that during training camp, at least Trevor Lawrence knows. You know, at least there's a chain of command. There's communication of, all right, this guy's calling plays, and you'll be hearing from him in the headset. Now, we may not know it till, you know, game number one of the regular season and or whatever the case may be, but as long as that team is in the loop, that's all I ask.
Yeah, well, that's a good point. Yeah, we don't need to, but they do. I think that's a very fair point. We got a lot of chatter in the chat of all places, and Joe says Daytona would be great. Orlando, that damn I-4 traffic. YB says anxiety sky high.
Yeah, it does suck, man.
Let's see. Orlando traffic's definitely crazy. I guess they were listening to the press. How much did Brent pay someone to ask that question? I didn't. Olivia and Marcel told me about, both texted me at about the same time. I guess they asked the question. Listen, this isn't about me. I just think it's a fair question. Like, I mean, that's the question. It's become that. It's I don't mind being tied to this question. That's fine. But this isn't about, this is really a, an important deal. Like, I genuinely think about that. I know it's kind of, we joke a little bit, like, hey, I'm asking the question and we did it at the combine and we're doing it again. And it's like, oh, here we go, Brennan. Like, we can have fun with that. But I really do think it's a big thing. Like, I wouldn't be asking the question if I didn't think it was a big thing. And again, this isn't us. Now, we might be making it a bigger thing than they want us to, but this was them that made it a big thing last year. This was whoever leaked it out to Ian Rappaport on that morning made it a big thing, made it a thing. And it's going to be a thing until it's not a thing, because that's how these things work.
What I don't
That's get, a lot of things.
Yeah, it's a lot of things for sure. But what I don't get is, like, despite the leak to Ian Rappaport, wouldn't we have known anyways just watching on the sideline that Doug Peterson wasn't calling plays?
Well, I say this, Austin. Yeah, maybe, but I don't think, I take you back to that time, I don't think we were as keen on it, because I think our assumption was just, yeah, he's going to call plays. Like, there had been other conversations throughout the camp where you would say the question wasn't directly asked, are you calling plays, Doug?
Sure.
Well, why would we? He had called plays years before, and your assumption is he's putting the glasses on, he's got the play card. I would also say I didn't see a big difference from the way Doug operated year one to even preseason. It's not like something jumped out of us in the preseason. It was like, oh, doesn't look like Doug, Doug's like hands are in his pocket, yeah, but, and his glasses are off. Okay. So it's not like something alerted us to be like, to ask the question. Okay. You know what I mean? And then on top of that, there were opportunities to, even though he wasn't directly asked, he could have hinted that, yeah, well, we're going to hand these off, or they've developed a good relationship, or, oh, by the way, like, press was doing a lot more of this anyway. There was just never anything there. Is that a bad job by us in the media? Maybe. I just don't even know why, even the fans, like, when we're talking about the Jags that whole month of August going into that game, nobody's asking who's calling the plays. Like, if you take yourself back there, if you saw that, you can remind me. But I don't think anybody was saying who's calling the plays. That's why I know exactly where I was when I saw the news of that. And I was on the morning show on the season opener in a parking garage in Indianapolis. I'm like, where did this story come from? Because all of a sudden it became a story you had to ask about after the game. Like, you were already, you weren't going to talk to Doug that day until after the game. And it didn't matter how the game played out. You already knew, like, your first or second question. It wasn't like, hey, how'd you do today? How'd you win? Or what was the big play? I was like, where did this call and play thing come from, Doug? Like, that is a weird thing to happen. Regular season week one. It was a great note for me in Rappaport, to his credit, or whoever slid it that way. But, like, it wasn't a thing.
Yeah.
Until they made it a thing.
Totally.
And then, and again, if you really want to, in chronological order, they were shaky out of the gates. This was supposed to be a team that was going to score 30 a game. Now, they scored okay in that Indianapolis game, but the defense set them up. They were clunky. And then they were clunky again. They scored 9 against Kansas City. And then they were clunky again, even. They got a little bit. Oh, no. Houston. They were clunky there in that home game. And then you're like, okay, well, now. Heck, if Doug was calling plays, it would have been a question.
Course.
But by that time, it's on everybody's radar. Now the fans have ballooned it. Now we've ballooned it. It's just a misstep. It was a bad calculation on whoever's part to get that out there. And now it's a story that just hasn't gone away. And it's not going away until they either play better or, I think, until Doug announces he's bringing it back.
Yeah, I mean, this is, listen, once again, I don't see the competitive advantage. Maybe Doug thinks that there is a competitive advantage, and that's why he didn't say anything in the preseason last year and got out, you know, week one or whatever. Maybe that's the case. But once again, as long as Trevor knows who's calling the plays, that's all I ask. But if you want to save face a little bit and you want to help out optics, I think the sooner that you disclose whether it's going to be Doug Peterson or Press Taylor calling the plays, the better. Because I just feel like you have nothing to gain right now by waiting this long.
Yeah.
What is there to gain?
Yeah, I actually think you're right on this from even a public point of view. You get Brent and Austin and everybody else to stop talking about it. Yeah. Now, do you care? Probably not. But I'm just saying, internally, you're right. Externally, matters less. But it's like, okay, why don't we put this thing to bed? Mm-hmm. And by the way, rip the Band-Aid if you're just saying, hey, press is going to do it. Because right now we're just going to assume Press is doing it. I'm assuming Press is doing it based on Trevor's comments.
Well, I'm just assuming that Press is doing it because, like, if he, once again, what's going on behind the scenes could be different than what the public perception is. But I feel like if Doug hasn't come in and said, "Yeah, I'm taking over by now," what's gonna be the change in 2-3-1, 2-3 months, whatever the case may be? Like, I think, you know, and I've echoed this many times. We talked about this on the show before. I think Doug Peterson and Press Taylor are great friends, and he's trying to do right by his friend and helping him out.
Yeah, I do think I will take. I usually try to take these guys at their word as long as you can, and unless you just know something else. And I genuinely think Doug's still evaluating this. Like, I think he wants to see, and I kind of get it. He's got Ryan Nielsen coming in. He's still feeling that out. I mean, he's been in the building for 3 months and hasn't seen him kind of interact with players and everybody else. I think he wants to see that as in the place that he thought it would be. That's why he hired him, all those things. I think he wants to see the continued interaction between Press, and I think he trusts that with Trevor and everything else. But I think he's probably just this is a good time to still evaluate. I'll give him that. Like, I don't mind that. And again, I will say, I if it was a bigger deal inside the building, I think he would be making that claim one way or another. He might just be having fun with us in the media, frankly.
Yeah, yeah, who knows?
But I actually do, again, I think they view this as a collaborative effort, and I think he's probably just saying, hey, I don't need to make this move by now. I don't need to announce anything by now. We're going to do this thing all together, and I'm going to wait to see how all this unfolds before we just finally put the stamp on it and be like, okay, I'm willing to share this now. For whatever reason, and I'm sure he has his reasons. I'm just trying to guess at his reasons right now and put myself in his spot why he would be doing it. But there was obviously some things he didn't trust last year within his own system. I'm not talking offensive system. I'm talking within his own staffing. And Mike Caldwell obviously comes to mind to the point where he wants to make sure that's in the place that he wants it to be, needs it to be, to say, okay, I'm going back over to where I belong, you know, and I'm going to have a heavy imprint, every footprint on the offense.
No, listen, as a head coach, your first priority over everything is making sure your locker room and your culture are intact, right? And maybe there was some issues with that last year. The guys that they brought in kind of points to maybe they did need some leadership and all that stuff. Okay, great. But you don't have that excuse anymore, all right? Like, at least from a player's standpoint, your locker room is a lot better than where it was last year from the guys that you brought in. Now, okay, what is Ryan Nielsen going to be like? You got to get a feel for him. I mean, once again, and Doug Peterson interacted a lot more with Ryan Nielsen than we have, but I assume that they like what Ryan Nielsen's bringing to the table, right? Especially when you come from Mike Caldwell, who it seems like people weren't on the same page with him. So I think it is an upgrade at the defensive coordinator position. So once again, get a feel for that and make sure that's where it needs to be. But then if that's where it needs to be, which we all assume it's going to be, well, then what other excuses are there? You just don't feel like calling the plays? Or is it because you're trying to help out your really good friend? Like, eventually that's what it's going to come down to.
Yeah.
Like, because eventually you're going to – this team has set themselves up so well in the offseason – you're running out of excuses for Doug Peterson not to be the offensive coordinator, the offensive play caller.
Here's the thing. So right now, I handicapped this at, I believe, right now it feels like Press Taylor's calling plays because of what Trevor said to me. Like, not Trevor said to me, but to me, the way I interpret it. When Doug talks about it, I have a strong feeling every time he mentions something, that he's going to retake the play calling duties over. And I still think that's how it ends up.
Yeah.
And whether that's entitled or whatever, I think he's going to be the guy calling the shots when the bullets start flying in September.
Okay.
That's the way it's weird because right now I don't feel like it, but I do feel like it gets there.
Yeah. And once again, like, just my opinion, I feel like that was more of just like Trevor trying to stick up for his guy.
And it might have been. Might have been more than I interpreted it in real time to be that way.
Yeah. It's kind of like the Doug Peterson, Luke Fortner thing where it's like, you know, we got to get better play from him and he's still our guy and everything. Like, Yeah, you say that, but come on, you're getting a guy. Yeah,
that's a good point. Like, that's a good point.
It's NFL, man. You got to stick up for your own.
That's actually a good comparison. Hey, listen to this. Boys starting to hop in here. They turn the music up. We'll get some lunchtime folks in here on a Friday. Get the weekend going in style, and we got another hour to go here on the show. Brent and Austin show. Lunchtime it is, heading into the weekend. And thanks for hanging out with us. Action Sports Jax 24/7 Network. What Ethan Waugh had to say today as the assistant general manager talked a little bit to the media. And also an interesting comment from Josh Allen in the last couple of days. We'll get to that still here on the Brent and Austin Show on a Friday. Thanks for hanging out with us.